Welcome to this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church. Today we have a message that we believe is full of practical and relevant behavioral teaching from God's Word, the Bible. We'd like to invite you to grab a piece of paper and a pen. Take notes as you go through this, looking for a personal application from God to you. Sit back and enjoy as we begin this message.
So this morning, we're going to have Pastor Pam come, and she's going to share with us as we continue our core value series.
Well, hi, good morning. Woohoo! Pastor Barry, last week did start on this core value series that we're doing, and last week he had spoke about, and if you have your bulletins, if you turn to page 4 in there, there is a complete list of what the core values are here at SCRC. But Pastor Barry had spoke last week, he did the first one on Christ's headship, but this week I am going to be talking about pre-Christian people. And that's just a little bit further down on the list. And how many of you, I mean, besides all of us, obviously each one of us, at some point or another was a pre-Christian, but how many of you today can say, I know at least either a friend, a family member, or a neighbor, close friend, or, you know, someone that you know well enough that as far as you know, today they're a pre-Christian? I would think most of us would know at least one or more people right now that would fall into that. I remember one time I had a friend of mine that, she knew I went to church. She had started kind of asking some questions, but she called me one day and, you know, unfortunately she was going through something with her family at the time, and she called me and was telling me what was going on and was just upset by it. And she said, I had to call someone that I knew would pray. And, you know, in that moment, if you've ever had a friend or a family member that doesn't really believe in God or go to church or those type things, and they call you and ask you to pray, it is, you know, as upset as I was about what she was calling about, I was like, it was a little bit of a leap of like encouragement that she was at least calling to ask, knowing that, you know, there is power in prayer, and she was calling to ask me to pray. So I told her, I said, oh, absolutely, I will be praying in agreement with you. And this friend was very animated, and she was like, oh, no, I'm not praying. She said, I just need you to pray. She said, God does not hear a word I'm saying. She said, he doesn't listen to me. He doesn't hear me. I called someone that I thought he would listen to. I just laughed with her. And I said, you know what? I said, and so I told her, I said, you know, it's scriptural that if two or more will pray in agreement, that there's more power in that. So I encouraged her that I would pray, but she had to promise me she would pray as well. And that's what I'm hoping today is that, as we go through this, and I'll be sharing some scriptures, and I'm going to share a story with you, kind of a journey I went through with a group of ladies, is hopefully we can give you some tools today too, that we can be reaching and reaching out to our pre-Christian friends and family. But the scripture that actually, if you look in those with the core values, each one of them has a scripture that goes along with that core value. And on this particular one, the scripture is Luke 19, verse 10. I'm going to read verse 9 and 10. And this is in the story of Zacchaeus, where Jesus had went to his home. And starting in verse 9, it says, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. And then in verse 10, and this is the verse that our core value is based off of, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. So the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. In my Bible notes there, it says, a person is not saved by a good heritage or condemned by a bad one. Faith is more important than genealogy. Jesus still loves to bring the lost into the kingdom, regardless of their background or previous way of life. Through faith, the lost can be forgiven and made new. And I think that's good news for all of us. That it doesn't matter where we've came from, what our background was, what our family life was like, that we can all have a new life in Christ. So the journey I want to kind of take you through, and as some of you that's maybe been here for several years know at least part of this journey, but that I had played bunco with a group of ladies from our subdivision. And so I had, when we had first moved to our subdivision, it was back in like 2002 that we had moved there. And when we first moved in there, I actually knew one of the ladies that lived in the subdivision already. We had, I'd worked with her, so I had a little bit of an in, but I'd probably been there less than a year, and the lady said, started saying, hey, we want to start a bunco group. And, so she had asked me if I'd be interested, and I was like, yeah, I think that'd be fun, and I thought, we only have like 46 homes in our subdivision, so it's a small subdivision. I thought this would be kind of a nice way to get to know some of the other ladies. And, some of you know also that I sold real estate for many years. So at the time, I had a house listed in there, and it was a vacant house, and I was holding it open. So a couple of ladies that I had met already, I knew their name, didn't really know much about them yet. They came over to me and came up to the open house, and they said, hey, we heard that you're going to consider playing bunco with us. And I said, yeah, I think that would be fun. I could tell they were kind of hem-hawing around, and I was like, you don't drink, do you? I said, and I knew enough about this particular couple of ladies that I was like, oh, I hope this isn't a deal killer. And I said, no, I don't drink. And you could tell they were kind of hem-hawing around a little bit again. And they said, because what the ideal for the bunco is you have 12 ladies that participate, usually like in a subdivision or something. And the reason you have 12 is, one, there's like three tables of four, and usually in different rooms. But it's also so that you have one lady takes it each month. So that person that hosts it for that month, they provide all the food and drink. The ideal of that is that the other 11 months, you just get to show up. So they said, so are you okay with having alcohol at your house? And I was like, So I just told him, I said, my husband and I made a decision before we ever had, before we ever married, to not drink alcohol. And, now at the time, our kids were like 10, 14, and 16. So I said, I don't know that we could provide that for other friends if we weren't gonna, if we're not willing to drink ourselves. And they said, no. And they seemed to immediately be respectful for that. So that was cool. And then it was funny because then they started kind of, I'm hauling again. They said, are you going to be okay if we drink at the other houses? And I said, well, actually, I said, that's a good question. I said, you actually are a little bit competitive. So actually, if the other people are all drinking at the other houses, it might give me a little bit of an edge. So I said, that'll be totally fine. Totally fine. I said, drink away at the other houses. So we started the bunco group. So it started early in the year, I think February. My house, they had decided, we kind of lined up the year at the beginning of the year. I wasn't going to be until the summer months. So we had our first couple of times of meeting. Oh, wow, was this an introduction to the ladies in my subdivision? So out of the 12 ladies that agreed to host it, I was the only one that did end up saying that I didn't want to have alcohol, at our house. But so what I found out was, within about an hour or so of these ladies being together, was this was like being with a group of drunken sailors in speech and in every other way. So I was just like, this is a wonderful, wonderful group of ladies, but they were definitely on the rowdy side, really rowdy side. And I had a little bit of mixed emotions about that. And I remember talking to Pastor Barry about it. I believe it was after probably 2 months of having it. And I was like, and I gave him a little bit of insight, and he didn't seem to be understanding the extreme of this. And I gave him a little bit more insight of what I was experiencing on these nights. And he said, and as a side note here, when Pastor Barry, when I had talked about him, one of the things Pastor Barry already knew about with me is, and we have to use wisdom with this, is I've never drank, so I wasn't going into a situation that it was tempting me to do something, that I wouldn't normally do. And I just recently had read, which was, I just kind of went along so well with this, is, we've always heard people say, well, Jesus hung out with the sinners, we know that he did that, so we're supposed to live like Jesus did, and Jesus hung out with them, so that's what we should do. And I just happened to, just literally within the last week or two, had ran across a blog post, and it talked about that Jesus didn't just hang with the sinners, that there was a purpose when he was doing that. And the couple of examples they had given was, which ironically, was the scripture that goes with this core value was Zacchaeus, that he went to Zacchaeus' house. But, you know, once he left there, Zacchaeus was not the same after that. And then the other example, they gave multiple examples, but one of the others was the woman that was found in adultery, you know, that Jesus did not condemn her. But a lot of times what we leave out of that is in the same way they didn't condemn her, what was the final words he said to her? Go and sin no more. So when he hung out with sinners, it wasn't that he was just hanging out with sinners. He hung out for a purpose. And what Pastor Barry, in the same way that, you know, we know that Jesus, just because he hung out in that scene, wasn't going to be tempted to go partying. Pastor Barry said, you know what, I'm not worried that you're going to, you know, fall into a different lifestyle if you hang once a month with this group. He said, so you can't impact them if you're not there. I was like, okay. So I continued on. And one of the things I had also studied not too long ago was talking about peculiar people. And it's not a word you hear too much nowadays. And when I went to look for peculiar people, I was Googling it and trying to, I was actually in Bible Gateway and I was looking at different, you know, I was like NIV and NLT and I kept looking. I was like, I know that's in there. I know peculiar is in the Bible. Where is that at? Well, the only thing I could find it is the King James Version. And when you look at the King James Version for peculiar people, it's actually the other, if you look at the New King James Version, instead of peculiar, it says special. And when you actually look up in the dictionary what peculiar people, what the peculiar, the word actually peculiar means, is it says distinctive in nature or character from others. So what I realized was that my challenge was going to be is to be amongst this group, but my goal was not to blend in with them. My goal was to absolutely build relationship with them. My goal was to, and I did, you know, and as I'll continue on through the journey here with that, absolutely built great friendships within that group of ladies. But the other thing with that is, for us as adults, and even I used to, when our kids were growing up, you know, I knew just from my experience of growing up, you know, I was saved, before I entered high school. But, you know, but throughout high school, I had great friends from church. We were always plugged into a church. We had our church family. But I absolutely had pre-Christian friends that I went to school with. I had pre-Christian friends in my subdivision. So it wasn't that it wasn't, you know, around pre-Christian friends as well. And the same way with our kids is, you know, we told our kids, it's not that you can't have friends that are, you know, even though we had them in church, we had them, you know, our kids' youth group, you know, our kids were there every night for youth group. They were there on Sunday mornings, building those relationships with other kids from church. But then, you know, we also knew and we had that expectation for them, you're going to have friends, but our goal was that they would influence them and not allow the other, you know, for the, you know, at least the negative side of that to be influenced to them. There's a scripture here, and I don't think I had got this to the team here, but it's in Colossians 4, 5 through 6, and this is the NLT version. It says, live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3, that's when Peter tells us, always be prepared to give a good answer to anyone who asks you to give a reason for the hope that you have. It goes on to say, do this with a gentleness and respect. So, you know, with this group of bunk ladies, you know, I wasn't sitting in a corner praying and telling them Jesus loves you. And, you know, it wasn't like that at all. I can promise you, probably for the first several months, we didn't really talk about church or God, or that really wasn't the matter of subject usually with these ladies. But fast forwarding to when it was my first time to have it at my house. Now we've been meeting about 4 or 5 months. Every time that the ladies were getting together in this bunco, they were staying up till 11, 12 o'clock, laughing, having a great time. So I can't even tell you how hard I was praying that we would have the same experience at my house, even though there wasn't going to be the alcohol there. So I was so thankful for the night the ladies all came to the house. One, I went above and beyond. Like at the other houses, choices of drinks was usually a whole arrayment of alcohol and then like one kind of soda and water. That was usually your choices for drink. So I was like, okay, I have to really do this up well if I'm not going to have. So I did up like Frappuccinos. I had flavored water. I had, you know, tea lemonade. I had all kinds of different flavors of soda and was just trying to, you know, do that well. But really what I was praying for was that the ladies would just be able to come and still have a great time. And They came. They were at my house till at least midnight or past, laughing till they were crying. We had just an absolutely wonderful time. And what was really cool about that was the next day in the subdivision, that was kind of a joke amongst a lot of the ladies that when I say there was a lot of heavier drinkers, probably like 6 or 7 out of the 12 were really, really good. But what several of them, at least 3 of that group, they had saw me that next day on Saturday when they saw me in the subdivision. They said, hey, we just have to tell you. They said, we had an absolutely blast last night. Who knew we could have that much fun sober? One. And they said, 2, they said, my whole family is like, what are you doing up and talking to us in the a.m.? Because they said, normally the night after Bunko, till noon, the family just knew, do not talk to her. It was Bunko last night. And the whole family just understood, don't talk to them right now. So it was really cool to get this feedback. And it wasn't just from 1 or 2. I mean, most of the ladies that would catch me, either that, especially that day after, it was just really fun, the conversation with that. Now, I can't tell you that in the coming months that I saw any different, you know, in those next few months as far as with the Bunko. But what I did start to have is over time, and again, I wasn't just doing Bunko with these ladies. We were doing life together. We'd see them out in the subdivision. We'd help each other in the yards. We, you know, help each other with kids, you know, that type thing. So we were building relationship. But they were starting to ask questions. We were starting to have some conversation. And one of the cool things that had happened a couple times was at this point, as I had had an opportunity just a couple times with at least 1 or 2 of the ladies, where they'd get asking me about something and I'd talk to them and I'd just casually throw out there, hey, if you ever like to, you know, check our church out, that'd be cool, you know. And at that time, you know, the first time or two of asking, it was like, no, no desire, no. But what was really cool that happened, and this happened a couple times within just a couple months of each other, I would get in a conversation with someone, pretty in-depth conversation about, you know, something that they would ask me. And this would never happen. Nobody was talking about this in a group setting. If anybody talked to me, it was only if they caught me one-on-one to talk. But what was happening is sometimes we'd get in these conversations and all of a sudden, that very next Sunday, either Pastor Barry or whoever was speaking would talk about the exact thing I had been in conversation with them about. I'd be so excited. I would like, oh, I've got to get the CD. And as soon as I could get that CD, I would give me another opportunity to say, hey, it's like, this is crazy, but you know, we were talking about, you know, and I'd refresh them of that. And I said, you know, Pastor Barry or whoever it was, I'd say, you know, spoke about this that very Sunday after we had talked. And so, you know, I'd pass that CD on to them. And one of the other tools that I don't know how many of you were here when we had done this series. It's been years ago now. But years ago, as a church, we did this series, Just a Walk Across the Room with Bill Hybels. And great series. It's just short. I think it's 4 lessons. If you ever have a chance to even go through it on your own, just a lot of great material. But in that lesson, I'd love to go through a lot more of it, but one of the things that he talked about in there, and if you've ever heard us talk about it, is a Matthew's party. And basically all it is a Matthew party is working towards getting your pre-Christian friends to meet your Christian friends in a non-threatening way. So that doesn't usually ever mean at church. So usually in that is, and just a real example of what we had done was, there was a family in our subdivision at the time that had a husband and wife and they had 2 smaller kids. And at the time we had a couple in our small group, husband, wife with 2 smaller kids, almost the same ages. So what we had done was, you know, again, this was one of those couples that I had met through Bunko and was starting to talk to. So what we did was we just invited both couples to our house for a barbecue and swimming, nothing, you know. And what we did is we actually talked to, and this is done purposely, just so that we would, but we talked to the Christian friends and we said, here's the deal. We're not going to, you know, be all churchy and all that. It's not what this is about. All I want to do is I want you to build relationship with this family from my subdivision. And Dexter, if you're in here, you appreciate, you know, they were both car guys. So I was like, so I knew that. I was like, okay, I got to connect them. The guys talking about cars. And for the wives, you know, they had a couple things in common besides the fact that, you know, kids the same age, that type thing. And so we had them over, and that purpose was strictly so that they would get to know them. And Bill Hybels talks about this with the Matthew party is it's strictly trying to build those relationships so that at some point point if we could get those people into church. They've got another family that suddenly now, oh, I know them, and they're normal. Well, kind of, you know, they're okay. And especially if they have kids, it's like then their kids have somebody that they know in children's church to go, oh, look, that's so-and-so. We went swimming together. We played in the park together, or we went out to eat together, whatever that is. So for doing that, so back to the bunco. So in doing that, we had went through this series, the Matthew series, and we was like, okay, this makes sense. So, and I'm telling you, this group, when I say it's rowdy, I know I'm a little more, okay, way more conservative than some, but I'm telling you, there was ladies a lot less conservative than me in our subvision that we had got them, we talked them into subbing for us. And they were so shell-shocked that they were like, the next time we would ask them, they were like, oh, I've got to do laundry. Yep, got to do laundry tonight. They were just like, nope, not going back into that. So we started running out of subs from within our subdivision. And I was like, Matthew party. I was like, so I asked our pastor's wife, Gina Ivy, I'm like, hey, Gina, I'd like to introduce you to some ladies from our subdivision and explain to her what we were doing. And Gina was absolutely awesome, totally jumped on board, and she started going. Well, I'm trying to think, Michelle, did you end up going to Bunko with us some too in the subdivision there? Cause we ended up with like over time, probably three or four different ladies from our church here that we slowly, as we needed subs, we kept just inviting different ladies from the church here to have them meet. And, so as we were continuing to have them come, and we were, the couple of ladies, like I said, were continuing to start to ask questions, not in group settings, only one-on-one. And then all of a sudden, I got that first phone call. And it was from one of the ladies, and she said, I was curious, what time's your church service start? I'm like, oh, I was like so excited. I'm like, and then she said something about what the kids were doing in children's church right now. I'm like running to try to find my bulletin. I'm like, where is it? Is it on the breakfast bar? Is it in the car? Where's that bulletin at? And so I'm running through the house trying to find that. So I was so excited, and I was like, and then I'm like trying to sound cool on the phone. Like, oh, well, at the time I think our church service was like 10:30, and I was like, church starts at 10:30. Why is that? And she's like, well, and so she came that first Sunday, didn't know what she would think, didn't know. And of course we have just an awesome church family here, and we did in those days as well. And she came into the church and she immediately sees Gina, who she knows. She sees, I don't know if it was Michelle or, but there's like at least two or three ladies that she immediately knew besides me in here. And then just a really cool God thing was this particular lady, the first one that came, when she met Dawn Bagwell, which is Pastor Barry's sister, they had grown up together. They had actually done sleepovers at each other's house and knew each other that way. So very cool connection. She felt very connected here, right away. Dawn worked back with the kids. She had kids. It felt very safe in that as well. So now we'd had one lady come. Well, because of her coming, one of the other ladies like, well, I wouldn't mind checking it out. So then we had another lady that came. And then it was interesting because at this point, this is not, and that's the thing is when you're building a relationship with people, and that's what we all want. We all want to go, we want to be like Jesus and be like, whoop, we went to his house and now he's saved. It's all good. That's just not normally how it happens. We're at this point well over 2 years into it, maybe closer to 3 years into of playing Bunko month after month with these ladies, building relationships, going to lunch with many of them. Like I said, just doing life with them up to this point. But at the point where they were, we were still playing Bunko at this point. And most of the ladies were still ladies out of my subdivision. And it was really interesting. One of the ladies that was still one of our very rowdy ladies, the bunk a lot of times in a two-story house is in three different rooms. So she had came from the one room, like living room or something, walked through the dining room and got into the kitchen. And I happened to be in the kitchen part already. And I heard her as she gets in there, and she was like, what the... And I was like, what's going on? And she goes, what's happened to the Bunko group? She goes, I just walked through all three rooms, and in every single room, they're talking about church or God. And I was like, oh, my gosh. It took probably about 3 years to get to that point of any of these ladies being willing. And when I say that, here's the crazy thing about that. I wasn't the only person in that group that was active in a church. Which, to me, looking back even, I was thinking about that and reflecting on that. I'd forgot about that because it wasn't something for a long time in that group that was taught much at all about. But throughout that period of time, we had four of the ladies that ended up attending here, at least two or more Sundays that they visited. Two of the ladies did attend here regularly for years, and the first one that came actually was saved her second Sunday she was here, and one of the other ladies that came shortly after her had been saved as a child, or you know, at least she was in church as a child, had not been in church or really served God during her adult life. I think she was in her early 40s maybe when she came, and she rededicated her life here as well. And if you could bring up the slides of the, this was one of the ladies and her daughter getting baptized. And if you can see on the lower picture, the top picture is her getting baptized. The lower picture is she's off to the side and her daughter, teenage, I think she was 11 or 12 at the time, getting baptized. And the mom's sitting off. This picture here was that night. We used to, during that particular time, we did baptisms on Wednesday nights. And so what we had done was we asked any of the ladies from Bunko that would be willing to come to the baptism. And this was the group that we had that showed up of our Bunko ladies and a couple of the kids there from our Bunko group. And they came to support her. This isn't the actual picture of the friend getting baptized. But one of the other ladies that was actually in that previous picture there, back just a few years ago, the church she goes to, they set up one time a year, and she had a complete video of it, but unfortunately we couldn't get it in time for today. But she, the way their church does is one time a year, their three campuses come together and they do baptisms. So the two in front are actually doing the baptism, and the two in back is what they ask the people to do, especially the adults. With kids, they usually just say, usually it's just the parents go into the water with them. But when they're adults, what they ask them to do is they say to look for two people that have been the most spiritually impactful in your life and ask them to go into the water with you. And my friend had came to me and asked if me and her brother would go into the water with her. So we got to go in there and experience that with her. I just want to encourage you guys today. You know, this started out with this group of ladies that, you know, I was peculiar to them, I'm sure, in the sense that it was different. They didn't understand my lifestyle. You know, their lifestyle was honestly a little bit foreign to me as well. But God can use us, and God can use us in our everyday life. You know, I looked for that. There's been other situations. I had another good friend that one time she asked me to play on a volleyball league. And at the time I was so busy and I was like, no. But it turned out she was also creating a Matthew situation party there. And she was inviting three ladies. There was going to be three of us from church playing and three ladies outside of church. And we were doing it to build connection. So I agreed to do it for that reasoning. But gosh, if we can just challenge each of us just to live that Christ life with people, with your neighbors, with your coworkers. And you know, in those early scripture that I had read where it talked about in the Bible notes, it doesn't matter what our background's been. Maybe you've had a rowdy background, and I have some people that friends that have told me, they're like, oh, you don't understand, I had that. That was me. I had that rowdy background. Well, you know what? God can absolutely, in fact, I love that. We had a guy at our previous church that, you know, I'd known him in his rowdy days. And, you know what? When I brought my rowdy friends, he was the first one I introduced them to when they came to church, because I knew he was going to be able to relate to them, and he'd been there, done that. And you guys that, you know, even with, so whatever our backgrounds are though, we can use that and, live that Christ life in front of others. If we'll go ahead and just pray to close out here today. Father, we just thank you for this time. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word and Lord, for the encouragement, Father, that, Lord, that we can just live this Christ life. Lord, that we don't have to be perfect, but Lord, that you can use whatever we're at in life and Lord, to be able to reach others. And Father, let us reach our pre-Christian friends and family and Father, and be there for them in whatever way that needs to be. Father, just be with us throughout this day and your week, Father, and do the things that you'd have us to do. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Mike.
Thank you, Pastor Pam, for that. And yes, please give her a hand. Yes. So that lady that she showed up there being baptized, not only did she accept Christ, she came to SCRC and she worked in SCRC. She was on the welcome team. I mean, when Carmen and I first started coming here, she stood out to us right away. And just how exuberant she was about being on the welcome team and greeting others as they came into the doors. So it's not just a matter of her accepting Christ. It's in her going out and impacting the lives of others. And you just have that chain that takes place. And I hope you understand, this is why we push so much about taking advantage of opportunities to connect others into the body here. And we do the men, we changed our format of what we do on Tuesday nights, where one Tuesday night a month, we still meet two Tuesday nights a month, but instead of both of them being some sort of Bible study related thing, the first one we do is we're doing an activity night so that we can get guys to just get connected, plugged in, have fun. The ladies are doing bunco still. When Pastor Pam said bingo, I thought we were going to have to like pray over her for a minute, but you know it. You know, the ladies still have bunco up here on a regular basis. Great opportunity to bring a friend with you. Just take advantage of those opportunities. They come. When you leave today, walk out there and look at all the various opportunities you have to connect others, plug others in. And one other thing real quick, the importance of what she did with, just in her neighborhood, people she's around every day. Number of years ago, the house I lived in, we had a young couple lived across the street. I was a young couple, part of a young couple with two little ones at the time. And the wife was a Christian, the husband was not. But we connected with them. They had a pool. We'd go over to her house, we'd swim, we'd barbecue, we'd do different things. And what I didn't know was if I was out like in my garage, I would play music and sometimes I'd turn up kind of loud. And how many of you remember the old WCBW, the bridge, before it went under? I'd have the bridge playing, blaring out, you know, Christian music. And over time, he would start asking me questions about God. And he would just ask questions, and I would answer them. Well, a few years after we built that, and it did, it took time, but a few years after we built that relationship, he accepted Christ into his heart. And one of the things he said was because of him watching me and me having that connection with him and just listening to, like, the music I'd have, you know, blaring out of my garage. Maybe part of that was to cover me yelling and screaming if things weren't going right. And he was hearing the good stuff, not the bad stuff, so that's good. But, you know, building a connection with others is so important. And I hope that you realize that out of what Pastor Pam shared today, that can take advantage of those opportunities. So thank you so much, Pastor Pam, for that. I might have the welcome team come forward. And as they do, I did share with you earlier about just how great God was in meeting a challenge. And again, thankful for those who answered the call that God placed on their heart. But if you haven't had that opportunity still to do that, you know, God's leading you, but you're still not sure about it, I want to share an illustration with you before we take the offering. And it's one that I've shared before. If you've been here for any period of time, you know, I like old TV shows from the 70s and that. And one of my favorite TV shows is Barney Miller. And Eugene even has a little clip back there sometimes he plays for me, the theme song, you know, boom, 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 boom. But there was a storyline they did that carried over two episodes. And one of them was where a man found a sum of money. And he turned it in to the police station. And they took it in. At first, they were like blown away that he would actually turn that in and not just keep it for himself. But he did. He turned it in. And once he turned it in, they said, if no one claims it within 30 days, it's yours. So he came back after those 30 days, ready to claim his money. He actually came back a day early, and they started to fill it out, and they realized, oh, wait a minute, we had a short month last month. You're a day early. And, of course, it tore him up that he wasn't going to get his money. But he came back the next day. And when he came back to get his money, there was an elderly gentleman who had been arrested for stealing a hearing aid. He needed a hearing aid, and he couldn't afford to buy one. And he had stolen one, and he was arrested for stealing it. And one of the things I love about Barney is, you know, I think he is such a great leader because he's tough when he has to be, but he has such compassion for people. And he has compassion for this. He really doesn't want to put this guy in jail for stealing this hearing aid. He knows he has a need and he just can't get it. So he kind of subtly suggested a man who's about to collect his large sum of money, you know, if you could just give a little bit of that, you could cover his hearing aid and we wouldn't have to arrest him. And at first the man's like, well, that's a lot of money. And he goes, not a lot of money for a miracle. That's what Barney told him. And it was only about 10% of what he had found, so he's still going to have 90%. Isn't that funny, 10%, huh? He has about 90% of what he found that was still going to be his. And the man gave the money to cover the cost of that hearing aid so that man wouldn't have to be arrested. And then when he saw the impact it had on that man, he became so excited, he was ready to give the rest of the money away. He's like, oh, do you need something? Do you need something? They're like, no, you know, thank you. If you want to come back tomorrow, you know, that's great. But, you know, we just are thankful that you took care of this man. But he was so blessed by being able to help someone else.
We hope you found this audio presentation from St. Charles River Church both beneficial and enjoyable. If you're ever in the area, please come by and visit us at 810 Westwood Industrial Park Drive, Weldon Springs, Missouri, 63304. You can also reach us online at www.stcharlesriverchurch.org.